Chifiwa Khodisang in the studio. How are you, ma'am?
Afternoon.
How are you doing?
No complaints, just looking forward to our career conversation.
Now, when we talk about career, the first and foremost thing that people think about is a job.
Yes.
Is a career a job?
No, it's not really a job, because career is bigger than a job. And you know, today I thought let's talk broadly, because you spoke about the line I like. You said this conversation helps you to strengthen the belief
yes
you have about your career. And then normally a lot of people confuse between, let's say, the qualification, the job, and the career.
And the career, yeah, they do.
And then one of the things that is quite a challenge is that how do you maintain this conviction or this belief of the particular career that
yes.
you have?
Yes.
And that's what we want to talk about it, especially now after registration. Because this is a stage where you take a knock, where you start doubting yourself.
Yeah.
You have received the books, you go through the study material, and you are alone. You start feeling lonely.
Can't make heads or tails of what
yes,
you're seeing.
Yes, yeah. You are not sure where do you start. And it's very important now to think about your career goal. The career goal, now we are talking about, where do you see yourself in the coming 5 years? What do you see yourself doing? That is the job. So, for example, most of the people have got, you know, I would want to be in a career where I will be helping people.
Yes.
That's the career where you will be helping people. We are not yet talking about the job.
The job per se.
Yes.
Because helping people is different.
Yes. Because you could be helping people where you are in the helping profession as a social worker. Or you could be a lawyer. Or you could be an accountant.
Yeah.
Or you could be in radio.
You're still helping people.
You're still helping people. So can you see, when we talk about a career, or could be quite broad.
Yeah,
like
it's the broad.
Communications is a career field.
Yeah.
We are talking career fields in communication.
Yeah.
But we could then go deeper to say, what do you see yourself doing in the field of communication? Now we are digging deeper
now,
into a specific job.
Yeah.
So
now we're going straight
yes.
for the point.
Yeah. Yeah, and we know in order to reach that career, you need a qualification.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not about one qualification that leads you to that job or to that career.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like different qualification. But the question is now, especially somebody studying at UNISA, you have received your study material. You have registered and you are starting to wonder, am I the right person for this career?
Yeah.
Sometimes you look through the brochures and you see some case studies and you think, what? When I help people, is this what is expected
of me? Yeah.
Will I cut through that? And then that's very important, so that you think about, this might look challenging, but because this is what I want to do in my life, I would really want to go through this.
Yeah.
This might look doubtful. This might look overwhelming. But because in 5 years' time, I want to see myself in this career field, I will have to go through that. So why we chose to talk about a career today is that choosing a career could have a lot of uncertainties.
Yes.
Could have a lot of challenges. You know, I was walking here and I thought, you know, the most important challenge, it's also when you are now registered, then you meet your friends from school or your family, your uncles, they said, you know, Michana, what are you doing at university?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yes. And then you say, and they say, where will you work? Will you find a job?
Will you find a job?
And you can't answer that question. And then you start being miserable.
Yeah, you start doubting yourself and the ability.
Yes.
Yes.
So you see, one of the things about careers is that one need to be prepared to live with the anxieties.
Yeah.
And I know as we go along, we are going to talk about other ways of maintaining these anxieties. How does one cope with that? But the first thing I wanted to say today is that people normalize that. It's normal that you have chosen a career. But you might have chosen the career from the outside.
Yeah, without
now
looking
in it. Now you have now entered the room. You might find that it's quite dark in the room. There is a lot of water in the room. Then you ask yourself, will I swim? Yeah. Will I manage this darkness? That is very normal at the beginning, in the middle, at the exit of your career, that you feel anxious. So the question is, how does one now keep going? What do you need to do to maintain this? And for now, I think one of the things is to, again, to link this anxiety to your goal, to say, you know, when I was a little girl, I used to play doctor, and I really saw myself as a doctor.
As a doctor.
So even though this seems like it's not going to be easy, but I must remember this is how it's preparing me to be the doctor I want to be.
Now, when uncertainties come in, and I'm a victim of that myself, and it was also because of listening to what other people say, we cope differently.
Yes.
In overcoming these adversaries. Well, with me, I learned that I need to focus on me. And the other people that start doubting themselves to a point where they want to leave, period. Do you ever get those people that come to you and be like, I just can't do it?
It's possible. I always ask people to do a very simple thing, especially to keep convicted with your career, that you must write yourself a letter.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, I want, it's like a joke. You need to write a letter to yourself that in 5 years to come, I really you want to see myself and say social work.
Yeah.
And I promise myself that I will read this letter to remind myself that I still want to be a social work, even when it's challenging,
mm-hmm.
even though I feel lonely
mm-hmm.
at times. Even though I'm weeping, I'm crying because I failed the assignment or the exam, I still promise myself that I would still work towards achieving my career vision of becoming a social worker. That helps because sometimes when you are overwhelmed, yes, the immediate thing is like, let me give up. There is no use for me. But when you remind yourself, this is actually that something that you would want to do, and it's not that you can't do it. It's that at the moment you are challenged, you then can come back to the focus. It's normal. I mean, it's very rare that most people will say, I never have a problem and all that. We all have that little voice. Remember, the doubt comes with that little voice.
Voice that's in there.
Yeah. That little voice that will say, listen, do you really think with everything that you are, will you make it one day? And you could get a lot of reasons that you won't make it. But if you remind yourself, despite the circumstances, I'm going to make it, then it helps you.
Now, when the other main focus that we're going to be looking at during today's discussion is the whole idea of time. And readmission. Now, time plays a very vital role.
Mm.
And funny enough, yesterday I was watching a documentary where it says that time is actually not time. The earth is slowing down and it makes it look like the time is longer. Now, coming back on an educational level, time is very, very close to everything you do. You can't do something without time. Now, yes. The idea of managing time. How does one go about managing time and managing, ultimately articulating everything so that it fits in with the prescribed time for it?
Yeah. We are still going to talk furthermore about getting started with your studies next
yes.
week, and time would be very important there. But now, you see, now we spoke about your career vision, the person you want to be.
Yes.
And the question is, how are you starting to articulate or to start preparing for that person you want to be? How are you investing in that? And then the issue of time studying. Because when you are sitting studying, remember you are equipping yourself with the necessary knowledge
mm-hmm.
that is required for you to become a social worker.
Yes.
Otherwise, even people who said, you know, I'm a born helper, we could just say, listen, there is your office.
Yeah.
help people, but you would realize that you need to study to become this social work. So you need to also start, as you are making this decision to say, I want to pursue a career in social work, you need to start deciding, how much time do I have? For one, how many years do I want to study this qualification? It's very important. Yeah. Because sometimes people think, can't I get something for 6 months?
Yeah,
two years.
I'll be fine as long as I finish.
Age is catching on me. I'm like 31 or something like that. So you need to really think about, how are you planning to invest?
Mm-hmm.
And when you invest in something, you need to put your time, you need to put your energy. Because it's important not to just think about, you know, I want to be this social work, but you don't want to sweat for it.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to sacrifice. Maybe you need to put that wedding on hold to say, can I get my degree
first?
Or you need to put the baby on hold. Or you decide, you know, you want everything, you will be able to manage both. So it's very important when we think about our career, because most of the time we always think about this big thing, and we don't think about the baby steps, the practical things.
Because earlier on, I made an example of a person traveling. I said, traveling from here to Cape Town.
Yes.
You know, I can say, look, I'm going to Cape Town. Fine. How long is, like, without even planning, how long it's going to take me to get to Cape Town?
Yes.
What I need to do to prepare in order to get me to get to Cape Town?
It's like, you know, yesterday I was talking somewhere about issues of planning your studies for success.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, what is amazing for me is that when, you know, as families, as individuals, when we plan for our holidays, we start earlier. And I use the example for Cape Town, so that if you are driving to Cape Town, you will decide, okay, we will drive from Pretoria to Bloemfontein or to DR. And when we get there, we will book a lodge. Or you think driving is too much, I would rather fly and book a car. You know, those logistics, we sort them out. How much will I spend? And, you know, what type of clothes do I need to take when it's raining and all that. But with our careers, we tend not to think about those things, to the extent that sometimes people will be studying and then they didn't prepare properly. Halfway through their studies, they start complaining to say, no, I have been studying for too long, I'm getting old. And then you ask them, but what happened? How did you manage, or how did you plan to achieve this? No, I was just studying. I was just thinking this thing will happen one day. But they need to be a commitment.
It always baffles me on how we plan so much for other things, and then when we come to the educational thing, we just use this leap of faith thing. Be like, you know what? We'll see how the next 6 months will end. And then if it's okay, I'll come back then the following 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that's why UNISA now is introducing rules about academic exclusion.
Yeah.
And it's coming also because sometimes people think, you know, we are in the system, I can do one module there, one module there, one module there. But how are you thinking about, you know, achieving this career goal? So at some level, you come in, you're doing two modules there, one module there. Then you look around, you said, everybody who started studying with me is working. They are doing their second honors degree, but I'm still stuck. But it's not UNISA that has made you stuck.
No, because
of your planning and how you thought around your career and what you need to do.
Plan. It's a very broad thing that ultimately, if it's done correctly, it will minimize on a whole lot of obstacles.
And you can hear here, we are not even talking about planning your studies. That's what we will talk about next week.
Yes.
We are still overall talking about planning for your career.
Just the broader aspect of planning for
your career. You have now chosen a career. Now you think you want to be a social worker. But have you really thought broadly about this? Have you really thought about, when do you want to become this social work? Because you can't be a social work in 20 years' time. You would be working for your pension.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how young you are.
Yes, I'm very young, but I'll be chasing somewhere that side. Okay. But when we talk about careers and planning for your career, the biggest misconception that us as the youth we have, and in also one way or the other ties back with time. We like saying, there's enough time for it.
I'm really happy that you raised that. Because, you see, most people think I'm very young.
Yeah.
And the next minute they complain I'm very old.
Oh, very old. Yeah.
It switches so quickly.
So quickly. And
then from like, I'm still young, I can play around. The next thing, no, I'm getting old. My friends are like driving, are married, and all that. Yeah.
What about me?
Well, yes. So, you know, one needs to always live the moment to the fullest. Because the time wasted, you never regain it. In each specific year, should you feel that you don't do something meaningful, you feel wasted.
Yeah.
And that's when you feel even older. To say, I'm getting older. You know, I haven't achieved anything. It's actually not feeling getting old. It's the feeling of emptiness.
Yeah.
But should you be feeling that I'm fulfilled, I'm achieving what, you still feel young. You would find people in their 40s still feeling young.
Yeah, still feel pretty 50s, young.
50s, and then they, because of what they have achieved and the feeling of fulfillment and the energy they have. But should things are not working your own way, you get demotivated, you think that you're not achieving anything, and that's when you start using maybe age to say, I'm getting old, and so you actually use age to punish yourself more.
Yeah.
To say, look, I don't have anything, and I'm at my age.
There's a guy, he's a motivational speaker, he once said, like, we were at a racetrack, and at the racetrack, he saw a man sitting down. He asked the man, why aren't you running? And then the man, he was in his mid-30s, he was like, no, I'm too old to be running. I'm letting you young guys run because you still have the body and the physique.
Mm.
An 80-something-year-old man came and stood right next to them stretching and asked, sir, what are you doing? He's like, no, I'm getting to run. I'm getting ready to run.
Mm.
The 35-year-old man looked at the 85-year-old man and was like, why are you running? Mm. He's like, I'm young at heart and I can do this. Why are you sitting down? You still have the body and the physique.
So can you see when we started, we spoke about the conviction.
Yes.
And that's the conviction that I can do it.
Yes.
That's the conviction you need in your career to say, I can do it. And that's that example really help us to illustrate that. Because sometimes we use things that are not really relevant.
Relevant.
You know, people will say, you know, I'm coming from a very poor family. I can't be an accountant and all that. But you could still, should you be determined to achieve your career goal, you could achieve that irrespective of where you come from.
Yeah, that's the biggest truth there is.